Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
go, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Welcome to Missouri Grassroots Radio. It's Wednesday evening, July 18th. It's really hot outside. Things are heating up politically around the state. There's a lot of stuff going on. We have a packed show for you tonight. This is Lisa Payne Nager. Happy to be with you here on your Culture Vigilante Hour on a Wednesday evening. We're here every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Got a lot of things going on this week with Missouri Grassroots Coalition and Missouri Grassroots Radio. I want to kind of remind you of a few things that we have going on the website. A week ago or so, we launched a grass fire alert for Missouri Grassroots Coalition members and beyond. There was some nasty ballot language put on the November ballot for an issue that was just totally distorted by Robin Carnahan, and we have some information on our website about that. I want to always remind you to go to the website to check for updates, to check for information on that issue. We have a whole slew of a list of information of your legislators that you can contact, the governor, all your legislators, all the people in elected places of power for you to contact them and tell them that you don't like that ballot language, and just generally let them know how you feel about how that whole issue was handled. So we always want to direct you to Grass Fire Alerts on Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We also, here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, are trying to think ahead and think about Christmas time. There are families in Missouri who cannot afford to provide for their children at Christmas time, and we have a Secret Santa program going on there. We have some information there also on the Missouri Grassroots page, Grassroots Coalition page. Go to the Secret Santa page. We're asking for you to donate just a couple of dollars so that we can go and last year the Missouri Grassroots Coalition paid off the layaway accounts of a couple of Missouri families on Christmas Eve who couldn't find the funds to pay off their accounts for their children's toys for Christmas Eve. We paid those off. We plan to do that again this year. Hopefully we can find a few more families to do that for with your generous donations. Please go there. You can pay by PayPal, check, or money order. So check out those events going on there. And I want to let you know, too, if you're in the Springfield area this weekend, Americans for Prosperity is holding a huge event in Springfield this weekend. And I will be there helping them out with that event on Saturday, the Defending the American Dream Summit, Saturday, July 21st. It's an all-day long event, and they have some fantastic speakers. The keynote address is by Barry Goldwater, Jr., they have Michael Cannon from Cato will be there. They have just a long list of exhibitors and booths and breakout sessions. I'll be working with some of you folks in some of those breakout sessions, and we'll be speaking with some of you folks down there. So if you're in the area, come on in and join us. I know it's hot outside, but it'll be a great time for you to come and get involved with like-minded people who are interested in making a change in their government. Like I said, it's getting hot outside and things are heating up politically around the state. There's another issue that broke this week that was kind of an interesting issue. Some of you who have been listening to Culture Vigilante on Wednesday evenings are familiar with a segment that we do sometimes with a contributor, Brian Hook. Brian writes for the Missouri Journal. Brian is a great journalist, a great blogger, and a great patriot, and he has got ahead for figures, and he dives into the economics of the Missouri budget here, and he writes a lot about it, and there's a lot of information on the budget and his research there at Missouri Journal. Well, it seems that this week, I think, Brian posted an article on the St. Peter's Patch, and that started a whole lot of controversy. I'll ask Brian in a minute. I can't remember the name of the article. It was about the Missouri budget. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. Anyway, what happened there is it started a lot of controversy. Brian found some very interesting issues going on with the Missouri budget, and kind of gave it a different spin than the spin that you're hearing from out of Jefferson City. So let's go to Brian. Brian, thank you for being with us tonight. What did you write about this week that was so controversial?
Well, I wrote it last week, and the interesting part is I've been writing variations of the article since they've been working on the budget and increasing the amount that they're putting into it since the budget started and was finished in May. But what was interesting is I was tired that Republicans are out on the campaign trail telling voters that they are cutting spending, which I can understand why they'd want to say that. But the problem is total state spending is going up. And so I wrote a piece and I used one particular lawmaker in particular as an example, and then he went back on to the article and also went on to Twitter, but also went to the article and said in not so flattering terms why he thought I was wrong.
Well, he did a lot more than that, and for any of you who read Brian on a regular basis, I mean, I can tell you, I read a lot of bloggers, and Brian is pretty no-nonsense stuff. You report as a journalist. You really don't editorialize. You're pretty much a just the facts kind of guy. You know, there's not a lot of fluff, not a lot of anything else going on in your reporting, and especially when you're reporting about the numbers. And this article was just such an article, and I will tell you that I've never read anything coming out of Brian Hook that had a lot of editorial comment in it. This was pretty straightforward stuff, especially this article that you wrote. What's the name of the article, Brian?
Well, actually, the headline was a bit inflammatory. It was Mo GOP Hypocrisy. So that I'm a little guilty of big headline writing there.
Well, you know, I don't remember in any of the comments hearing anybody criticize the headline. It was really the content of the article. And what I remember going on with this article is as the debate began on it, you were writing about the difference between, or what it boiled down to is the debate became the difference between what was general revenue and general and total budget. But the facts still remain that the legislature is spending more money than it has in the past. Is that right?
That is correct. And a lot of the times, depending on who you are, you want to talk about general revenue. Lawmakers have more control over where that money goes. They want to talk about that. But I usually look at total spending, which is going to be $24.1 billion is what they appropriated. But actually, whether you look at the general revenue budget or the total operating budget, it's slated to go up for this fiscal year. So whichever way you slice it, it's going up.
Yeah, more taxpayer money is being spent is what the bottom line is. It's not necessarily how the elected want you to spend it, but basically more of our dollars are going out, right?
Right, and I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier. There was a lot of splitting of hairs and stuff, and what they want to say is that they cut. If they say they cut the budget, well, there are certain budgets, like if it's for a certain program, that they may have reduced from the previous year. But they've obviously, somewhere else in the budget, put, you know, increased money because the total amount is going up. And so they can say that they cut, but they cannot say that they're cutting spending because that's the total expenditures, and it becomes the total expenditure and it's higher than the previous year, that's increasing spending.
Yeah, you're increasing spending. So more of your taxpayer money is being spent regardless on how they're cutting budgets. So let's jump to the next issue. Okay, so the legislator in question here was Tim Jones. He became inflamed over the fact that you were writing about this issue and that you were presenting it in the way that you were presenting it. And if you go to St. Peter's Patch and look for that story, and you read the comments in that story. I found the comments, and I found some of the Twitter feed as well. I have to tell you, I am just appalled, and I know that this is not the first time that Mr. Jones has behaved in this manner, but he has slandered you in ways that are completely inappropriate, in my opinion, for a state legislator to go after a journalist. Now, you know, you can like journalists or you cannot like journalists. It's up to you, but I'm telling you, there are things that have been written here that I find terribly offensive, and on a Twitter feed, the things that I found there amount to very little more than a temper tantrum here, and again, completely inappropriate for coming from someone who is about to be our next Speaker of the House. People of Missouri, I think you need to stop and look at what's going on here and what's coming out of this type of leadership. Is this the kind of leadership that we want in the Missouri House? I think people need to think about that.
What I found interesting is he did start to change his wording somewhat on Patch, but on Twitter there were things such as fake journalist, fraudulent, poser journalist, journalistic malpractice.
Absolutely.
Emails were actually a little bit worse. But then on Patch it was politically motivated diatribe, fraudulent attack piece, manufactured story, misleading, incomplete, inaccurate. But yet he wouldn't come back and say what numbers were specifically wrong in my story. I mean, these are I'm using their numbers from the Missouri General Assembly. It's not like I'm making up the numbers or changing the estimates. These are their numbers. He voted for all 13 budget bills.
Yeah, and people can agree to disagree on the issues, and you can have that debate in a civil manner, but this goes far beyond that. So I mean, I'm thinking, you know, it's got me tongue-tied. I'm thinking that people of Missouri deserve better than this coming from House leadership. So I think that this is something that people need to think about. Go to Missouri, go to the Patch. Brian is going to be with us on Friday night. We're going to dig into this issue a little bit deeper on the Friday night roundtable. We'll have more information for you there. Come back and listen to us again on Friday night with this issue with Brian Hook, because I think this is something that really needs to be addressed. We've got behavior coming out of the House that is not appropriate. We've got spending that is going in the wrong direction, and we've got a lot of spin somewhere in between. So, Brian, we'll see you on the radio on Friday night. I hope you'll all join us there. Take a look at that St. Peter's Patch article, read it, and then come back and join us on Friday night. Thanks, Brian, for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
We're going to take a short break and we'll come back with Randy Noble.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
That last promo sounded like the CD was left out in the sun. I'm sorry. We'll try to get that fixed. I hope that didn't sound as bad to everybody else as it did here in the studio. We have with us our next guest is Randy Noble. Randy is a local St. Louis author. And again, we've talked about these issues before here on Culture Vigilante. People need to be aware of what the Muslim extremist movement is doing here in this country. And there are a lot of people out there in the grassroots who are keeping a really good eye on this and reporting on this on a very good level. And tonight we have Randy Noble with us. Okay, welcome back. You are listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Lisa Payne Nager, and today we have Randy Noble with us. Randy is a Missouri author. He's from the St. Louis area, and he's written a series of books on Sharia law and women in Sharia law and various aspects of the Islam culture and how that affects women and possibly how it might affect us here in the United States. And welcome, Randy. Thanks for being with us today.
I'm kind of curious, Randy, how did you get involved in this area of this is an area, as I've said before on Culture Vigilante Hour, this is an area that the people of the United States just do not understand very well. I think they've been kind of sold one aspect of the Islamic culture, and they haven't been told the whole story. So how did you get involved in this?
About 20 years ago, I had a cable program on Charter called Born Again, and one of the programs I did was on Islam and really trying to reach them with the gospel and talk to them as individuals and be friends with them. And one of the persons that had a program there, Islam, didn't like a whole lot of the content, so the basic thing that happened was a result of that was a debate at one of the mosques at that time that was in the city of St. Louis. And so it started there. I just have a passion to communicate my Christian faith to Muslims. From there, it's evolved in writing books. And these are different type books. These are not front-in-your-face confrontational. They're friendship-type books. One of them I wrote was called Beyond the Veil. And it's the story of a young girl living in Bangladesh. She's a Muslim girl, and she's poverty-stricken with her family. And one night, she has a dream where Jesus appears to her. And from there, she starts her spiritual pilgrimage, that is, from Islam to Christianity. So it's kind of evolved over the years.
And you've written a series of books. You've got at least 3 books out now, right? Is that right?
That's true. The sequel to Beyond the Veil is actually one that I'm just thrilled about because it's opened up a whole new avenue of talk communication with Muslims. It's called Shining Star, A Light in the Darkness of Iran. And it's the sequel to Beyond the Veil. It's the story of Nadia now as a Christian who is called by God to go to Iran to help the suffering underground church. Shining Star right now is being read by over 300 university students in Tehran, Iran, through the Internet. I just send them out PDF files. I've become friends with a lot of the Muslims in Iran. And finding out this through communicating with them just what life is like for them under, as you mentioned, Sharia law, the Islamic law in Iran. Very, very stringent, very fundamental. It actually just shuts down the freedom of individual Muslims. And, of course, Muslims who become Christians in Iran face the death penalty.
So let's talk a little bit about Sharia law. Let's get into a little bit more detail about that because there's so much controversy here in this country and in this state. There's been legislation written, and people are trying to become aware of what Sharia law really is. You have a number of articles on your blog, which is thecrossinthedesert.blogspot.com, that kind of illustrates, you know, story by story, what happens with Sharia law. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I think one of the most graphic examples, and you can get into all of the different penalties for stealing under Islamic Sharia law, is their hands are cut off, and you can go into all kinds of detail. But the thing that strikes me the most is the Sharia law of the Islamic dress code that it's played forth in Iran and many of the places around the globe, but especially Iran. My friends in Iran, they're dear to my heart, and they share with me what it's like. There is a group called the Ghasti Arshad, and these are the morality police that patrol the streets in the capital city of Iran, which is Tehran, and all over. And basically, if Muslims, especially Muslim women, are adorning their hijab wrongly, if their sunglasses are up, if their hijab is not in place, if they're showing too much skin, if they're wearing nail polish, any way that detracts from the dress code as enforced by Muslims living in Iran, they can be fined, they can be put in jail. Most of the time, they're picked up and put in a little van. And you can see videos, graphic videos of this taking place if you go up to YouTube. There are short 2-minute videos showing the treatment of women on the streets. And in some cases, they're actually beaten. My friend Tessie, who lives in Tehran, she just graduated from university, told a story that she's on a bus on the way home. She went to get something for her father on Father's Day, and the bus stopped. It's crowded. It's hot. And she's wearing her hijab, and she's just sweating. And the bus stopped because the Ghasti Arshad is busy picking up women. And she says, to watch this, you have to live here to understand this. Because I questioned her. I said, how can they touch women in a physical, disciplinary way like that? And she said, you have to live here to understand it. So one of the implications of the Islamic law is the treatment of women. And we can talk more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I read one of the blog posts that you had. There was a post on there about how women are not allowed to ride bicycles. And basically,
it's really the hardest thing to understand because because if you think back to some of the activists in our time, Susan B. Anthony was one of them that said the day that women ride bicycles is a day of great triumph, you know. And in Iran, they don't want women showing anything or any kind of sexual connotations. And so I have a friend named Sahar who celebrated her birthday. One of the greatest thrills of her life was riding her friend's bicycle, not publicly, but where she lives, for 10 minutes. This was her greatest thrill for her birthday. In Iran, you can't do this publicly. And it's just another plank in the oppression of women. They really are treated like second-class citizens. The Quran says this in many ways. Women are not only the weaker vessels, they're possessions as well. Now, some of my Muslim friends get heated about this because they say they are free as Muslim women. And they try to use the Quran to say that men and women are equal, but there are several places I can read and quote to you that shows very clearly the way women are subjected to husbands.
And that's one of the biggest misconceptions that most people in America have about Muslims and the Islamic religion or the Islamic way of life, is that they are being told here in this country that, you know, Islam is peaceful. You know, it's an equal, loving religion, and people are treated equally, and that is absolutely not the truth. And
a lot of my Muslim friends, Lisa, do lead a peaceful life. There are two categories we can go at this in two ways. There are the peaceful Muslims that do coexist with us here, but there are the fanatical ones. Now, the fanatical ones will tell you that peaceful ones aren't living the Quran, and so they're not good representatives, and so this battle goes back and forth. The best way to illustrate this, Saudi Arabia is one place. A woman cannot drive in Saudi Arabia. If a woman is accused of adultery, and in one of my blogs I talked about this, if she has four witnesses by men who say that she has committed adultery, because this is a shame and honor religion, and this is something in the community, she can be stoned to death. Now, if the man that is committing adultery with her is there as well, they are both stoned. But the point being, it's not peaceful at all. They take very seriously accusations like that. And so, again, the peaceful thing is kind of a facade in many, many ways. There was nothing peaceful in the history of Islam. So you see a lot of this going on today.
So you've got stories like this outlined in all of your books, Beyond the Veil, Shining Star, and The Promise. Is that right? And The Promise is your most recent book?
Well, The Promise actually is a book about the Holocaust. And the thing that's interesting about this is that in Iran, the Holocaust is viewed as a myth. Ahmadinejad, the current president, who, by the way, may retire next year, and a lot of my Iranian friends are saying, we'll wait and see about that. He has publicly denounced Israel and says they need to be wiped off the map. And the book, The Promise, is about the Holocaust. The amazing providence of God is that he has allowed me the opportunity to share a book with people, my friends living in Iran, in a place that is opposed to the nation of Israel vehemently.
Okay, so how can people find your book, Randy?
The easiest way really is to come to my Facebook page, Randy L. Noble, and just type in the L. Or you can go to Amazon.com. If you type in Randy L. Noble, all three books will appear. Or just email me, rnoble1065@sbcglobal.net.
And don't forget to log on to thecrossinthedesert.blogspot.com for more information about the stories that you'll see in Randy's books and information that he comes up with from these. I guess some of them are real life, or most of them are real life accounts of what really goes on.
And these are my friends that, and Lisa, they're very dear to me. These are real life friends, name after name. I can tell you that they take English translation courses. They're really, really wanting to come and migrate here. They really want a better life, and I'm all for that. That's why I write the book I'm going to write is about a woman activist in Iran, and it's really dedicated to my friends in Iran who want the same freedoms that you and me enjoy every day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being with us today, Randy. We really appreciate it. We hope to have you back again, and let us know how the new book turns out.
It was a pleasure, Lisa. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too.
We'll be back in a few minutes with Bill Slant, a Libertarian candidate for the Congressional Second.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it. I've got a feeling
that the tide is turning. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and this is the Culture Vigilante Hour. Tonight, we've been vetting candidates all season here. We have a lot of primaries. We're really going to be glad when the August 7th primary is over. It's been a long primary season. Most of the people that we've been talking to are your traditional Republican primary candidates, but we want you to know that you have some alternatives out there. And especially on a local and state level, third-party alternatives, if you are a grassroots person and you are not happy with the traditional establishment Republican platforms that you are seeing or the traditional establishment Republican candidates that you're seeing out there, it's not such a stretch to look outside the party and to look at these third-party alternatives that you have out there. I first met Bill Slance a couple of years ago when I was putting together a candidate forum for the homeschool community here in St. Charles County. I invited all of the candidates that were up for election from every party, and Bill was one of those candidates. He was not running as a Republican at the time, if I remember correctly, and he was brave enough to walk into the lion's den of a bunch of Republicans. He was, I think, the only third-party candidate, and I think there was one other Democrat that was brave enough to show up in that huge lineup of Republicans. Thanks for being with us tonight, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Bill is he's the Libertarian candidate for the 2nd Congressional District here in the St. Louis area. Bill, tell me, why did you decide to run for the 2nd Congressional District here in St. Louis as a Libertarian?
Oh, great question. Well, Lisa, first and foremost, I'm just so disenfranchised with the way things are going in our country and in our state right now. The Republicans and the Democrats are not offering any clear solutions to solve some of these great problems and challenges that we face. Libertarians, to me, have solutions that can resolve issues on both sides. They look at this this whole picture as one community, not just left against right or Democrat against Republican. They look at this whole community as one, and how we need to get along with one another, and they come up with solutions that resolve issues for both sides and with a compromise. I'm proud to be a Libertarian for that reason.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly, Bill, when you became first politically active, you tried to work with the Republican Party, right?
That is correct. I mean, Lisa, what I really wanted to do is it's come to a point in my life where I have a crossroads here, where I believe it's my responsibility to offer something, to serve my community, to serve my state, to serve my nation, and what I see lacking here is leadership. And I believe I have that leadership ability, the leadership qualities that are lacking today in the Republicans and in the status quo. I saw a recognition from the Republican Party because I wanted was looking for a legitimate chance to have an opportunity to make it into office to help lead with the problems we have in our community and our nation today.
Well, I think that's part of how the grassroots movement has bubbled up through the surface. People are taking a look at the traditional party candidates and the traditional party platforms and the establishment organizations, and they're just not happy with what they see there. They're not willing to work with the people. They've got their own agenda and they've got their own way of doing things, and it's not necessarily what most of us consider in our own best interest. So, I mean, you're not the first person to jump ship. We'll be talking with Cynthia Davis later on too, and she was a longstanding member of the Republican Party, and she also went into a third party. So, as a libertarian, Bill, now that you're going after the second congressional seat, and you're running up against big time establishment Republican machine there with a lot of money. How are you going to structure your campaign? How are you going to get your message out there to tell the people about what the Libertarian Party stands for?
That's a great question, and you're absolutely right. The Republican Party and Ann Wagner will be outspending any possible hope I have to raise any money, 20 or 30 or maybe even 40-1. And as a fait accompli in the Republican Party, she probably doesn't have to spend a whole lot of her budget, but we'll pass that along to somebody else. The only way I can do this is through the grassroots, and through the social media, and through social networks, and try to come to people like yourself and come to your website and take this time to talk about the things that we're passionate about, the things that we believe are common sense solutions to today's problems.
So let's touch on a couple of the issues. So
sure.
From the libertarian standpoint, what are some hot button issues? Everybody, everybody's talking about Obamacare and restructuring that through the House and the Senate. So have you got a stance on that?
I certainly do. And to answer your question, it's I find Obamacare, as you call it, to be very intrusive and such a broad brush, such a broad stroke type of effort on behalf of bureaucrats to solve some problems which cannot be solved in such a high level when you look at things on a one-by-one basis. So libertarians and myself, we stand for individual responsibilities. We stand for looking from the bottom up rather from the top down. So we want to look for solutions in our individual neighborhoods, our individual families, our individual homes, our individual neighborhoods, our individual cities and counties, and then maybe the state. We don't like to look at solutions from the top down. These big, gigantic, broad strokes, which overlook all of the other little, tiny, individual needs of everyone. So we're looking to manage things in a micro level rather than on such a large scale, such a macro level.
So in addressing issues like Obamacare, I mean the Libertarian Party, I mean I'm slightly familiar with it, but on the national level, do they have a platform for these very large issues and how they want to address all these things? Is there information?
Yes, we do. We don't like Obamacare at all, and think it needs to be overturned. But it doesn't just stop there. I mean, the problem with healthcare has nothing to do with insurance, and has nothing to do with these types of the types of things that the Democrats tried to run down our throats years ago. Healthcare expenses have to do with all kinds of lawsuits and all types of problems that people face, or I'm sorry, that the medical community faces, that has nothing to do with actual medical care.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many forms that you fill out, and think about how much, you know, red tape you have to run through, and how many hurdles you have to jump over to get medical care, and all of that is so that the doctors and so that the medical community can protect themselves against action against them. And the whole system is built.
Too much regulation.
Exactly right. And then without any competition by insurance companies, that, if you will, from my viewpoint.
Would you advocate going across state lines for insurance?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Deregulating those issues with insurance companies?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. And so does the Libertarian Party. We do not. Medical expenses are far too high, and it's not. And a large portion of those medical expenses have nothing to do with medical care. And insurance is something that I look at personally. I know this sounds a little radical to a lot of people, but insurance is something that should be used in a catastrophic situation.
Right.
You know, we don't go to AAA and we don't go to State Farm to ask them to fill up our cars with gasoline or to change our oil. Why do we go to insurance companies for basic prescriptions or basic everyday needs in our medical community? Insurance should be for the catastrophic, not for the day-to-day or not for the routine.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, Bill Flance, we hope to hear more about your platforms and your campaign. I'm assuming you're unopposed in the Libertarian Party for this seat that you're seeking, and that we'll be seeing you in the general in November. Is that right?
That is correct. Yep.
So how can people get a hold of you, Bill? How can they find out about you and your platform and your campaign?
Well, that's pretty redundant. My website is Bill Flance, BILLSLANTZ.com. I also have a Facebook page called Bill Flance, and I have a Twitter at Bill Flance. So those are how they can reach me. They can also email me at BillSlance@BillSlance.com, and those are the ways you can reach me.
Okay. Thanks for being with us tonight, Bill. We hope to hear more from you in the future, and good luck with your campaign. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, have a good evening. Okay, we'll be back with Cynthia Davis right after this short commercial break. Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
With the August primary looming in about 7 weeks, we find the time is running out on who we vote for. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Do the representatives we send to Jefferson City really care what you think, or do they do the bidding of the special interest groups and lobbyists? It's your choice. You can elect a true citizen legislator or an establishment politician who takes his marching orders from the party elitists and his donors. Either way, time is running out for our state and country. Hear the clock of freedom ticking? I'm Terry Varner, and I approve this message.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Welcome back. You're listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is Lisa Payne Nager, and this is the Culture Vigilante Hour on MGC Radio. We are talking to third-party candidates. There are a lot of reasons why the grassroots movement should consider a third-party candidate, and we have Cynthia Davis with us here tonight to help tell us why, tell us some of those reasons. Cynthia was a long-standing Republican here in St. Charles County. She was the state representative here in the O'Fallon area for 8 years, and she recently switched over to the Constitution Party. Welcome, Cynthia. Thanks for being with us tonight.
It's a pleasure to be with you. I might want to correct you on the third party thing. It's okay to call it the Constitution Party, and I know that some people don't know what the name of the party is, but we're constitutional, and that makes us something really good. And it was just a short year ago that you could turn on the radio anywhere in St. Charles County and hear my voice saying, "Vote Republican."
That's right.
And I did. I believed in it. I was the face of the Republican Party out here, and I wholeheartedly put everything I had into building the party and doing what I could to promote Republican principles. But I got to a day when I woke up and I said, wait a minute, the reason I'm a Republican is because I believe in fiscal responsibility. I believe in limited government. I believe in personal responsibility. And I felt very alone because my fellow Republicans didn't have those values or share them with me any longer. So, you know, there's the old expression, when you can't change your people, you might have to change your people.
That's right. Cynthia is the Constitutional Party candidate for Lieutenant Governor, and she has been touring the state campaigning hard. Tell me about your campaign, Cynthia, and tell me how that is to campaign in the Constitutional Party for statewide office.
Well, first of all, I don't have a primary, so we can all be friends right away. And that's, you know, it's a beautiful thing because it means that when you're going to see a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth in a couple weeks, especially among conservatives who wanted to see conservatives win. But unfortunately, the vast majority of the time, the conservatives lose in August, and then by the time we get up to November, you really don't have much of a choice on the ballot. You can go with bad or worse. And that's not serving us well. We don't want bad or worse. Sometimes we want the best. And that's what I'm doing by putting my name on the ballot in November. My voters and the people all across Missouri are going to get a chance to pick the person who best resonates with their values, not just whoever the Republicans dumped on the ballot. And this is the reason they get on the ballot. The big money has been running these elections. The vast majority of the time, it's just the big money that makes it to the end. And we're out to prove a point.
Let's talk about the challenges of running as what you may not like to consider a third party, but another party than the traditional Republican and Democrat party. Running outside of those two parties, there are some challenges, and I'm sure money is one of them, because in both of those parties, they do attract the very large money donors. You know, while the third party candidates are gaining some popularity among the grassroots, there's still a lot of education that needs to be done out there with the general public about that, those other possibilities. What are you finding out there on the campaign trail?
Wherever we go, the response has been phenomenal. And the reason is people are eager, willing, and hungry for somebody who will just speak the truth. Your first segment on Brian Hook and how he's been attacked just gives you one illustration.
By the establishment.
They don't want to be questioned. Their only tool right now is to get us to shut up, and we can communicate with money, but we can also communicate through the new media and by my email that I've written all those years I was in the state legislature, And I got in the habit once a week of giving people an infusion on what is going on with their government. So I've maintained that habit. I still write a newsletter every week. You can go to VoteCynthia.com and sign up for it, and you'll learn all kinds of things about what's happening in your government. We also have YouTube now. We have ways for people to connect with each other and to share the code. People are connecting the dots like never before. And I think the fact that people are willing to question them is getting us where we need to go. We are now, in fact, last night alone, I just won a straw poll down in Cape Girardeau. Yeah, it is, because there were about 200 people who came out to a meeting. Even Peter Kinder, I guess that's the most amazing part, is it's his hometown. And I won.
So out of all of the lieutenant governor candidates in that straw poll?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yes. Well, that's wonderful, because that shows you that the grassroots out there is making a difference. People are paying attention, and they are willing to consider non-traditional choices.
Well, so, they know what's right. People deep down in their hearts know the difference between right and wrong. People know in their hearts what's constitutional and what's growing government bigger. And the establishment folks have been able to get away with lying to us because we're not supposed to question them, and they're the experts and they know what's going on. And while we've been quiet and nice, we're watching them every year grow the budget bigger and make government more intrusive. And we're starting to wake up and say, wait a minute, that's not serving us well. Another big dynamic in this race is I am the only candidate who's been endorsed by Missouri Right to Life. And what that has just done is created a dramatic shift. If you felt an earthquake happen, I'm going to explain why. We need people who are going to be champions of families, of taxpayers, and of the unborn, and we've not had that. And people want to see somebody actually win. The reason they endorsed me is because the other two are not endorsable. And if that can't wake us up and see what's going on, when you are beholden to certain special interest groups and you vote anti-life, you shouldn't be able to run around saying, vote for me, I'm pro-life. And that's how we're equalizing things, because people now can look up their records and find out if their words and actions match up.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about party platform. How does the Constitution Party platform differ, if at all, from the Republican Party platform?
The Constitution Party believes everything the Republicans believe, with a few small exceptions, and they're ones I like. And because you're somewhat of an expert in education, you may understand this, but the Republican platform says they're in favor of Head Start and other early childhood education programs, which is bigger government, and more educational testing. Now, those are just two areas alone. You know what? The kids are not getting smarter because we're doing more testing. There are other things that help kids get an education, and one is parental involvement. And so the Constitution Party doesn't believe we need a Department of Education in Washington, D.C., trying to tell us in Missouri how to educate our children. We have smart enough people right here in Missouri. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, what a concept.
The old line is that one party is evil and the other is stupid. Well, I'm not going to say anything about which one is which or what. I'm only giving you a quote. I didn't make that up. But let me assure you that there are reasons why both parties are indeed growing government bigger. They're using the children as human shields to grow government bigger and say it's okay because it's for the children, like the Trump card. If you use that, you get away with anything. And it's time for us to say, no, you don't. Now, Lisa, have you ever gone on, I shouldn't ask you this, I'll just make it a hypothetical question, but I've never played blackjack at the blackjack table either. But let me tell you how it works. They keep you at the table just long enough so you win a little bit every now and then, and it keeps you there at the table.
Right.
If you lost a bunch of money, you'd get up and leave. But if you only lose it a little bit at a time and you keep winning a few very small victories, it tends to make us want to stay with it. But we're losing the family farm. And it's not serving us well. And every year, just this year alone, if you want to look at what they did, the healthcare exchange legislation that's a component of Obamacare, mm-hmm. it passed out of the House. And
unanimously?
They, what was
unanimously?
That?
Unanimously?
Yeah, unanimously. And then they finally wrote ballot language to put it on the ballot in November, but they didn't write the summary. Why didn't they? Because it almost, you can only imagine, they wanted Robin Carnahan to write it so it would be so flagrant that they could say, see, this is why we're better than they are. But who's paying the price for it? The taxpayers are. I am so tired of being abused again and again and again. It's
okay,
not...
Let's sidetrack there for just 1 second, because this is something that Missouri Grassroots Coalition is hot under the collar about. And you, your experience as a legislator for 8 years in the House of Representatives, how many times did ballot initiative legislation go through, and they did not write the language for it?
Well, the initiative that is the August ballot, the one that you're going to see on the 7th of August, has the summary written into the bill. So it's not like we used to do this so many years ago that everybody in the Capitol forgot. I mean, just be realistic about it for a minute, okay? So
yeah, the
why
Amendment
they...
2 has got the language in the bill, but the healthcare initiative language, they just gave the gift to Robin Carnahan wrapped up in a bowl.
And I believe it was intentional, and the reason is they're not that blind to how to write legislation. In fact, that's what they're supposed to do professionally, is for a living, right? So not to make fun of them, I feel sorry for the innocent ones who didn't know better, because you know what, if they didn't know better, then you have to say, well, you know, not to be unkind about it at all, I feel sorry for all of them, because I remember what it was like when I was there. And look at the budget alone, how much it has grown bigger. And Brian Hook was right, that the governor offered a budget that was $1 billion less than what the Republicans actually passed. And how does stuff like that happen? Well, I was sitting in my chair one year. Finally, by the last year I was there, I voted no on everything except paying our debts. Everything else had fat in it. And that's, you know, unless we say no, we're not going to achieve any success. But there was one year, I was a floor whip, and all the floor whips, enough of us voted no on a certain budget bill. And the speaker put us in his office, and he said, you guys did that wrong. We're going to do a redo now. One of you is going to make a motion to reconsider. And if any of you vote no on it the second time, you will be stripped of your whip position.
Hmm.
Now, when stuff like that happens, you're not getting a lot of honest votes. You're getting told what leadership wants you to be told. And if we're going to operate like that, how does that make us more moral, decent, and respectable? Do we really deserve the credibility of leading the state when we ourselves use bully tactics? I think not.
Yeah, and you never know where that influence is coming from, because when leadership gets a lot of big money donations, you just never know how those strings are being pulled behind the scenes.
Well,
so, yeah,
it's time to stop covering for each other. And you're having trouble getting the story of how they wrote a ballot amendment without the summary. And the question, if they're all from one party, then they have a vested interest in protecting each other. And that's why I need to be the lieutenant governor. I will be the designated driver in the room full of drunks. I will be the one to raise the iron shade and let the sun shine in, and then you finally will know what's going on in your government, because I'm not beholden to anybody. And I don't say that with any animosity at all. I'm just saying that my loyalty is to the taxpayers, not to the bureaucrats and the other elected officials, and it's not my job. I didn't read that in anybody's job description, that it's your job to make everybody else look good.
All right, Cynthia Davis, candidate for for lieutenant governor under the Constitution Party in Missouri. Cynthia, how can people get a hold of you? How can they get involved in your campaign?
Well, they can go to votecynthia.com. And I desperately need money, so I don't want to sound desperate, but folks, help me. We are making a difference, and everywhere we go, it's going excellent. But we need gas, and we need signs, and we need a few other things to put the magic into this. And the other thing is, you're going to be encouraged by what you see. A lot of times people think, well, you can't win if you're not a Republican or a Democrat. Boy, are they wrong. You know why? We are turning this into a true three-way race. And if we have a three-way, I don't have to have 50% to win. I can win with 34 or 35%. That will be enough. And what that's doing is changing the way people view their options on who they're going to support and how that's going to work for them. If I can win this race, do you know what? It's the best thing we can do to help the Republican Party become better. Because if they find out they lose a seat over moving to the left, it is the only way to pull them back to the right.
And a vote for a third-party candidate under these circumstances, just as you laid out here, is not a throwaway vote, especially here on the local level, in the state level in Missouri.
Well, especially for lieutenant governor.
Yes.
You know, this is the one office where if you ever were going to live life risky and do something really bold and daring, this is the one to do it on. Because you know what? You won't notice a bit of difference if it's a Republican or a Democrat, but you'll see a world of difference if you get somebody constitutional in that office.
Absolutely. Okay, Cynthia Davis, thank you so much for being with us. Go to Cynthia's webpage. One more time, what was that, Cynthia?
VoteCynthia.com.
Okay, very good luck to you. We wish you very good luck on your campaign. We hope to hear from you again soon. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again before the general election. Keep us posted on how it's going. Thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure. I'm going to keep holding them all accountable, and you're going to see a grand experiment on what happens when people truly have a choice on their ballot.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cynthia, for being with us.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay. All right, you heard it there first, folks. Consider that third-party alternative. There may be reasons to go third-party, especially on the state and local levels. I don't think I would do it on the national level. I think that would be a disaster. But as grassroots people are constantly looking for alternatives, we're constantly looking to make a change, and very often we do not find that alternative in the traditional Republican Party anymore. You need to cast a wider net. You need to look outside the traditional traditional offerings that we've been dealt with for so long. Consider your third party candidates out there. Again, I want to remind you, please go to the Secret Santa page on the Missouri Grassroots Coalition website and take a look at that. Please consider, we just want to raise a few dollars to make some families happy at Christmas. That times are tough for everybody. We would imagine that times are not going to get any better anytime soon. So send us a dollar or two on the Secret Santa webpage. Join us Friday evening. Brian Hook will be here on Friday to talk a little bit more about the controversial budget issues and the Tim Jones attacks on those stories. Join me in Springfield on Saturday for the Americans for Prosperity event. I'll be down there all day Saturday. Next week we have Todd Akin and Brad Lager to talk about their campaign. And we will wrap that up for this week. Tomorrow night, Dave is on Hour of Truth. Join him. And I'll see you again here on Friday and then again next Wednesday on your Culture Vigilante Hour. Have a great weekend.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.